many are glad burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. So grateful for that. We're going to pray before we sing here, because I just sense that there's burdens here. You know, a burden is a burden of animal, of dragging a very heavy load around. How many know that we're not supposed to be dragging it? We're supposed to be leaving it and let the Lord take it. We exchange, remember prayer? Exchange our load for his blessing. Only the Lord can do that. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today, Lord, and I'm so grateful that burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very real. Lord, you are not, Lord, just some kind of thought that someone made up so it sounded good. You are not somebody that came into being for retail purposes. You came into being because we could not buy enough of the peace of God. We could not buy our own way. And certainly we cannot carry our own burden. Whether it's a burden we carry for others or it's a burden that's been placed upon us, I pray today, Lord, that you would lift as we worship, as your word comes forth, that it just by your movement, the burdens would come off. Not because the situation's changed, but because our confidence and trust in you is heightened. God, it comes by faith. It doesn't come by works, Lord. And so I just pray that our focus would be solely upon who you are. And when we see who you are, those burdens will dissolve just like they would under the fire. God, send your fire, Father, as we worship you in truth and in great joy. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Come and worship God.
we're here in the presence of the Lord, I want to see if anyone has a testimony. You know, sometimes you have to give testimonies by faith. Did you know that? You give them before something happens. It's called a thank offering. And I just want to give anyone, more than one, whoever, to give a word for the Lord today. In your spirit, you know you need to give one. It can be short. It doesn't have to be long. But if you'd like to do that, raise your hand so Dave can see you and get you a microphone.
Well, I praise the Lord for all the students who came on Thanksgiving, the international students, and that was wonderful. 26 internationals came to our house afterwards, and then with the Americans, we had 34. So we had a wonderful time. Yep, and Maria and Dixie and Angela, many were there. But and then we also saw on Friday, we saw a couple that we've, who the husband is Chinese, and the wife is Hmong, and they've got a Logan who's 6 and Kayla who's 4. And it was wonderful to see that they are seeking the Lord. And we praise the Lord for that. And then we had Tony, who came to the Lord under our ministry, and he works in, his company is, part of it's in Reno and part of it's in Indianapolis. So he just lives in hotels right now. But he continues to seek the Lord and read his Bible every day. And we spent Saturday lunch and almost a Saturday with him. And so it was great to, he's a very good ping pong player. Anyway, we learned a lot from Tony.
Jeremy's mom is in the hospital, and she did have a stroke. And I haven't even told this to Jeremy yet. I talked to his sister this morning, and she said it's just like her mom. So she's in the hospital, and she was telling her daughter, Riri, as Rita, we call her Riri, to pray, because there's this nurse named Jessica, and she said she's just sweet, and she feels that she doesn't know the Lord, and she said, I just think that God has opened a door for me, so pray for Jessica. And Jeremy's mom's name is also Rita, R-I-T-A. His sister's R-E-E-D-A. So pray that Rita, God gives Rita the words and mm-hmm. also a healing touch.
Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord for the Holy Family. That's the time of year we think about our family. And I want to thank the Lord for giving me the family that he did, for my mother for putting up with me being a brat, and my sister putting up with me teasing the heck out of her, and my brother who's not here yet, but it's his birthday today, so I thank the Lord for him and for my whole family. Just praise the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank the Lord for the Thanksgiving dinner and those Americans that showed up and talked to all our internationals. It was pretty awesome. And I just thank the Lord because they interacted so beautifully. And Chris, Beverly's daughter, Chris, really spoke to our Chinese mother who is going through a nasty divorce, not her choosing. And so God just was in all the conversations. And so I just thank the Lord for Dar and her husband for this great idea and for all you that showed up. Praise his name.
Amen. Anyone else? Okay. I was wondering when you were talking about playing ping pong, your friend Ping. Do you have another friend named Pong? No? Sick. Yes, she does. Okay. Well, let's stop and pray for Rita and Rita and Ping. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that, first of all, you don't give us restrictions on coming to you and say, well, you can only bring one need, now you're done. But you allow us to come into your presence and humbly entreat you on behalf of these. Lord, for Rita, we pray, Lord, that you would heal her from the entire event of the stroke, Lord Jesus, and that you would use her in this hospital room to touch more than she even imagines. For Jessica, Lord, that her eyes would be open to the fact, Lord, that any moment our breath can be gone here, and we need to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to just take your word and filter it through every conversation and every situation there. Touch also, Lord, Jeremy's sister, Rita. They don't know yet, as far as I know, what's going on in her body, but we pray, Lord, that you would sovereignly touch her as well. And then, Lord, may your strength and rest be in Misty and Jeremy and all of these circumstances. Lord, it's another day to lay it all in your hands. It is too big for us, but nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Father, and we do pray for Ping, and we pray for all of her circumstance, the legal issue, and the safety of her and her children, Lord Jesus, and that you, Lord, alone would be glorified through this very difficult circumstance. Lord Jesus, stand with truth, and stand, Lord, with those, Lord, that put you first. So we pray that, Lord, that wonderful relationship to Christ would come forward in her soul, Lord, because, Lord, she does have an advocate, and she has somebody that's far higher and greater than anyone we could ever imagine and find in a phone book. Lord, we know that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Thank you, Lord, for these testimonies. Bless, Lord Jesus, every life, and give us ears to hear what your word, Lord, what you presented and prepared in eternity past. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Series for Christmas this year is the Amen of Advent. The Amen. We think of Christmas mainly as the shepherds, which they were there, and the wise men, and they were there later. They weren't there for the event. They came kind of for the afterglow a couple years later. But there were specific men that were extremely important in the formulation of this story, and then how God took it from Bethlehem and has presented it forward. So I thought that there was some interesting people in here. And I'm starting out with Caesar, with Augustus Caesar. Okay, in the second chapter of the book of Luke, in the first 5:1-5, please stand to honor the word of God. And in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. You may be seated. And in those days, Caesar Augustus. Interesting individual, this man. I'd like to introduce you to him. He was born into an old, wealthy equestrian branch of the plebeian Octavi family, but was adopted posthumously by Julius Caesar. So he was not a Caesar by birth. And this followed Julius's assassination. So he was very good. He was able to adopt even after he was dead. Interesting person, huh? Of course, when you're in power, you can do anything you want. But Augustus was born in 63 BC under the name Gaius Octavius. And he ultimately joined forces with, how many remember Mark Antony? You've all seen the movie Cleopatra, okay. And Marcus Lepidus, to form the second triumvirate to defeat the assassins of Julius Caesar. They went after them. Then they divided the Roman Republic into three for all three of them. but were eventually torn apart by what? Competition within their members. This is why unity is extremely important in any government, in any place. Because when you have three heads, what do you have? Freak. When you have three in one, the Trinity, you don't have a freak because you have order. And there's a difference. And so, Lepidus, he was driven into exile and stripped of his position, and Mark Antony killed himself after a battle of Actium, which Augustus was the victor. Now, I want to give you three areas that this gentleman really was instrumental in bringing forth for where we are today. You wouldn't think his arm would stretch that far, would you? But it really has. Okay. First thing, the Pax Romana, which is the peace of Rome. How many people have said, and you hear it all the way through the Advent season, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Everybody wants peace. Everybody does. The only problem is war is quite good for the coffers, in a lot of sense, isn't it? Get a lot of money out of it. And that's the same way it is with Christmas. You realize that if Christmas wasn't good for retail, we wouldn't be celebrating it, probably. It's all about retail, unfortunately. But nonetheless, what Augustus Caesar did is he restored the outward facade of a free republic. And notice the word facade. You ever see like Hollywood back sets? You know, back lots? They're all facades. They look like they're actual buildings, but they're not. If you go behind them, they're empty. And that's the same way it is here. He invested government powers in the Senate, in the executive magistrate, and the legislative assemblies. So he divided the republic into the three levels of government, similar to what we have. But the Senate gave him autocratic control. So you have a three-part government that is supposed to balance each other, but then the person at the top is in absolute control. What do you have? Dictatorship. But on the outward, it looks like it's a government of the people, for the people, by the people. But it really wasn't. However, it was a time of peace. Why? Because he was in control. You can get peace two ways. You can get it man-made, where one person or one group controls everything and there looks like there's peace. Or you can get it the other way, of course, with Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. That's a better choice, by the way. But Augustus was the supreme military commander. He was the tribune, he was the censor, he was everything there. In fact, he called himself the first citizen. He had a pretty high opinion of himself. And he set up standing army, a police force, and the firefighters. He just didn't have the unions. But he did set them up in this society. And I was thinking about the peace that was made and that was held in a lot of parts of the Roman Empire at that time. You can only have peace when, in that context, when one person is in charge of the whole thing. But that doesn't give individuals peace, does it? Necessarily. Yeah, there may be control in government areas where you don't have thugs running like we do and all this other stuff. But by the same token, when I was thinking about this, this is what came to my mind. Only Jesus Christ can truly bring peace because he is the commander in chief. He is the one who battled and won. He is the one who is not fragmented, but is absolutely one God, eternal. And the problem that we have in our life is if we hold anything back in our life from that king, you know what it is? It becomes like that blood clot that breaks off and goes and puts your life in jeopardy. That's what happens. We can't have full peace if Jesus is not the full king, because then we're fractured. And the part that we take care of and the part that we control ultimately becomes a fight with God. Do you know you're not really fighting your problems, you're really fighting God? In a lot of sense. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad that the God is, that I serve is a loving sovereign. And when we ask him to help us, he actually does help. I'm so glad, because I'm sure that whether it was Augustus Caesar or any other Caesar, anybody else, any Pharaoh, anybody in any established position of authority, not going to look down on the heart of the person. All they can see is attitude. They can't see the heart, but God can see the heart. And that's a wonderful thing. Augustus Caesar had an outward facade of peace and gentle rule, but actually, he was a dictator at heart. He had to control it all. And I'm glad the Lord is the God that's in control. The second thing he did, which I know that Patrick and Susan would like, it was the path of the courier. That's their name for their music ministry. Path of the Courier. He established an official courier system within the Roman Empire. And this is for communication, of course, also for trade, and anything that was necessary within that auspices. Now, as a supreme one, as a dictator, he's going to want to make sure all of his information, all of his orders get carried out. So he's going to make sure there are avenues in every direction to make sure it gets clarified. Do you know why? One of the reasons why Great Britain lost the Revolutionary War? Because all of the officers on the field were not given ultimate authority. They had to go back to the King of England and ask what to do. You kidding me? I mean, first of all, they didn't have cell phones. You couldn't text them. I mean, by the time he even got the message you needed a question, the battle's over, you're in the ground. You want to go through all those people to get that answer? I don't know about you, but I'm so glad we go directly to Jesus. Nobody in the way. Nobody should be in the way. Now, we should be there to help and support, but Jesus is the only one we need to talk to. And he can give information wherever we are in whatever circumstance. And in this path of the courier, it was extremely important because it established the Roman roads where the gospel, ultimately as people got saved and the church was founded, it would go out into all the different areas of the world at that time. And these Roman roads were a little different in that they were made of stone. And I think that's very important because the Bible calls it, in the New Testament, we are lively stones built upon that house of God. And you know, if you put stones together, you got to put something in between to kind of buffer it. Otherwise, you're going to pound against other people. You ever feel that way sometimes? You feel like you're knocking against somebody? And the Lord has to put the Holy Spirit and the buffer and the seal in the middle there. Because he's not only building up, he's building our spirit up, he's building the church up, but he also wants to build it out. So those Roman roads go out and people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you have a Roman road of the different stones, if it was only one of us, it'd just either be one very big stone or it'd only be one stone and there would be nothing else. God has to connect the stones and make us work together so that that message goes out clearly and in a very specific way. The Roman roads were so important for Paul's missionary journeys, for all the things. They weren't there prior. Do you think God just, they just happened to show up, poof? Of course not. God put this man here to establish a system so that the message that was coming would have a way to get out. I mean, what's the good in having the great message if you don't have a path to get it to someone? And what is the way to get it? witnessing, prayer, sharing, and probably the most important thing, living the Christian life in the community. I think one of the worst phrases that could ever be uttered of me or anyone else is, gee, I didn't know she was a Christian. I don't want anyone to ever say that. But they do say you begin to look like who you spend time with. I said that to a lady years ago who was married to a man who was follically challenged, and she began to grab for her hair because she said, I don't want to look like that. But we begin to look like who we spend time with. We can tell if we're with Jesus or not, because you begin to phrase things like the person you spend time with. So this is important. Augustus Caesar, he was doing it for his own purpose to benefit his own empire, but God had a view beyond that for the message of the real king to go forward. And then the third thing he did, he provided the official reason for Joseph and Mary to be in Bethlehem. He provided the official reason. Now, Mary is pregnant. She's ready to give birth. Probably not the best time in life to have to travel. I don't think so. And you realize that if it was just Joseph's family, she would have stayed home. They both had to be of the house and the lineage of David. And they were. And so he provided. So now is the study. Issued a decree. And the word decree in the Greek is the word dogma. It's where we get the word dogmatic. Nobody in this room is dogmatic, I know. But it means public opinion, edict, and ordinance. And do you realize that Caesar Augustus, or any dictator, or any king at all, do you know that their public and their personal opinions become law? If he likes green, that's the official color. There's no voting. You never go to the polls to ask about that. The decree is whatever he feels like. That's why it's imperative that the righteous are in power. Because if you get somebody who's not, the Bible says the people mourn. You can tell in your spirit when God has not been given his place in this world. This is important. The emperor's opinion was absolute. And more than the laws that had governed previously, it's whatever was important to him became the rule of that day. So therefore, it could change from day to day. How do you like it when you go to see somebody and you go, well, yesterday they were in a good mood, tomorrow, not so sure. Don't you like it when you know you can go every time and you're going to meet the same person that's nice, that's talking to you and not chewing your head off? Because that's not probably a good appetizer, folks. Doesn't taste good. Every time we come to Jesus, he's the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed a lick. Not a bit. So each family here was to go to their city to register for this census. And when they went, the word register is an important word here. It means, it's apocrypha, and it means a record, a register, and it means to enroll, and it means an assessment. How many have ever had your house assessed and appraised? And it's based on what? What's happening in your neighborhood? That's not a true assessment. That's not a true value. That's like saying, you know, you're sitting with somebody that has a lower income and your value is based on their income. That's not fair. But that's how we do it in our world. That's why the values are going down, because it's being based on what's happening in the neighborhood. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that the value that Jesus places on us is not based on what's happening in the neighborhood. It's also not based on what's happening in your life or mine. It's based on Him and what He's done and what He created us to be. We need to see ourselves through His lens, not what we've done or has been done to us. Not at all. So they're going to register. And this word comes from two words. Apo means out from and away from, and graph means to write. You notice the word graph in there, and that reminds us of a measurement of people. It's going to be a measurement. Now, why is this important? Well, for a couple reasons, but one of them is this. It was imperative that there be a literal record of a historical Jesus Christ. There are people today that still say He never existed. Of course, there are people that say the Holocaust never happened. Yeah, go over to the death camps and smell the ground. You can still smell death over there. It was imperative there was a written record, because it's a physical birth. It's a physical life. It was a physical death. It was a physical and an actual physical resurrection into eternal life. It's not a mental state. It's reality. And that's important, because the world will tell you it's not real. And when you lay your head down and your eyes close from this world, there isn't one person, I don't care if the atheist, I don't care who they are, that isn't hoping it's actually real. They don't want to believe it isn't. And of course, we know it. God's word is true. And we know He wrote it for us. Wouldn't you love to see that registrar? We've done a number of things, family trees, and have gone to the historical center when we didn't get lost. Scroll through all that stuff and all those names. Well, first of all, the person that translates them and writes them out, they do a lot of the scroll. You can read things wrong and get names wrong because it's not that clear. That's why names get all messed up. And you find out that your name ain't what you thought it was and this and that. But we need a historical record of a historical Savior. That's extremely imperative. And the Bible says here, they came to their city, their own city. The Greek word polis or polon, it means city, but it really, instead of the geography, it really more means the inhabitants of the city. That'd be like me going to Minneapolis and registering. Take 100 years, but you'd have to do it. It is where we get the word police, to guard the city, to guard the people. Okay? Now, one thing I think is so fabulous about those inhabitants and this city and these people in Bethlehem, the house of bread, is this. God's value upon it is based on who He is, not who they are. And the Bible says the redemption of a soul is costly. So our value exceeds anything that we can even measure on this earth. And that's very true. Now, He told them they had to come because they were of the house and the lineage of David. The word house is the word patria. It's where we get the word patriarch. And it means the line, the lineage and the tribe and the family of David. And they both had to be there. And then she was going to give birth while there. You think there's any surprise in the story? You think there's any, well, I wonder why God put it in Augustus Caesar's mind. And Caesar thought it was his idea. God turns the minds of kings and turns them whithersoever He wills. And people, I don't care how high they are up on the chain, no matter who they are, they're not in charge. God is in charge. Now, Augustus Caesar died in AD 14. He was 75 years old, and he was succeeded by his adopted son, Tiberius. So when you see the name Caesar, it can be more than one. And a lot of times it's just a generic way, like the Pharaoh. It just simply means somebody that is the head of that particular country or that particular empire. But I want you to think about this in closing here. Augustus Caesar was adopted posthumously by Julius Caesar. He went into a new life, into a new family. And God used him in all of his dictatorship and all of his things that are important to him for the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the peace that passes all understanding to come forward, and for Joseph and Mary to be in Bethlehem at the exact right time when she was going to give birth. God was not surprised. Now, how many know that Jesus adopted us posthumously? Right? He died. If he didn't die, we're not alive, folks. He had to give his life. And then he resurrected. And if he hadn't done it, we'd all be dead in our trespasses and sins. And all the hope and the joy that we look for would be nowhere. He did it after his death and because of his death. And he gave us a new life. And he gave us a new family. Look around. You like your new family? I hope so. You're going to see him forever. And the fact that God has plugged us in is marvelous. Just marvelous. Come, thou long expected Jesus. You know what people needed was hope. Hope is not tangible. But when you get it, you know what it is. Because God has given you his answer. When we were looking for a place to live, way before we bought this house, we had about a year to get out, which was nice because it's those 30-minute drills that make you nervous. And we just knew in our heart that God had an answer. But I couldn't tell you what it was. She lost her job. My purse got stolen. Everything went wrong that year. And yet, in the center of chaos was the peace of God, which I couldn't explain, except to say God doesn't seem to be nervous. So I know he's going to take care of it. And then he told us to go to prayer, which we do occasionally, regularly. And he said, he brought the scripture to me, go, where it talks about ask, seek, and knock. I said, Lord, you really don't want us to go out into the community and knock on every door, do you? But we will if that's what we're supposed to do. Secretly, I was hoping that ain't what he meant. But we did drive around. And we came to a house in a place that we were like the 100th person grouping that came. And we were not their first choice. They told us that emphatically. But you know, when you're God's choice, don't matter what people think. God will make a way where there is no way. And that's the great news. And I concluded from that whole event that as wonderful as it was to have a place to live, especially since it was 100 degrees and they had central air, I was very pleased when I walked in. The journey was far more important. Jesus is the journey. He is the way. And we do look up there because we know that there's a place. But the journey is where we're at right now. And that hope we need absolutely. And so the Lord in Augustus Caesar, a very unlikely source, but God used him for the gospel message, for the peace that passes all understanding, and for the birth of the Son of God. Bow your heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, because you are just beyond anyone we could ever imagine. These amen of Advent, they didn't have a minor role, even if they're only named once. Because, Lord, the rippling effects of the life of Augustus Caesar is still having an effect where we are today. In the installation of police, firefighters, roads, services in a community, all of those things. Most importantly, you sent out a decree to make sure that name got on that register. And you know, Lord, we're so grateful because if you would never have been on that roll call, none of us would be in the roll call of heaven. We would have no chance at all. And so I'm grateful for that wonderful gift that we celebrate every day, not just every year, but every day. And we honor you, our Heavenly Father. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, there's one thought that God kept bringing to me through the preparation of the message, and that was this. That peace of Rome, which can only be accomplished by someone, an absolute leader who controls every part of that empire. And the peace of God that passes all understanding can only come in our life when we surrender every area. And if there's an area that we're hanging on to or we're having a hard time let go of, it can be that clot that breaks off and really puts our life in jeopardy. How God does not want that to happen. He wants to be the Prince of Peace in every life, without which there will be no peace in our mind or in our spirits. So as we sing this last song, O Come, Emmanuel, I want you, if you need to surrender in an area of life which is between you and God, I want you to come up here and stand. Or stand where you are if that's more convenient, but mostly to come up to the altar if you can and say, God, I want the peace of God. I don't want pieces. I want the peace that passes all understanding. I don't want a clot. I want to have life flowing through me. And you come up. Others will join you, I'm sure. But just come up and tell Jesus, you're my sovereign King. I will follow you wholly. Let's sing this wonderful song as we stand. Come, O come, Emmanuel.
Yeah.
Father, we pray for these that have come forward, Lord Jesus. Lord, we don't even have enough strength to really lay it at the altar sometimes. All we can do is say, God, I'm here. And then the great thing is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He comes. And in his presence, everything falls. In his presence, any other god would fall down. In his presence, any other conflict would come to peace. Because he's in charge. And he brings the full release. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for each one, whatever is holding on to them or they're holding on to, that God, your hand of mercy, would just take the fingers off of that thing or that idea or whatever it is, that pain, and release, Lord, in the great name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, the hope that we seek is not an event, it's a person. It is Jesus Christ, the King of glory. Thank you for coming, Lord Emmanuel, Lord Jesus. And many here, Lord, may have said, it's taken so long. The truth is, Lord, when we put it in your hands, it happens quickly. When we leave it in our hands, we wait a long time. Help us to trust you and to relinquish it all in Jesus' name. Let's sing the first verse of this again as we close.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear.
Ask Roger to come up and to close in prayer. Oh, well, you can pray where you are.
Well, so far to come. Well, when you were doing little testimonies right at the beginning, I didn't raise my hand, and afterwards I knew that I should, so I'm just going to close with my testimony. Lord, I just praise you for the work you're planning and are going to do in our country. We know that things look dark and bleak now, but we also see you moving in the background. We see things happening. So we know that you are getting ready to perform a mighty act in our nation. So we just thank you for that. We just ask that you leave our hearts open to join you and follow you. When this time comes, we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.